Book of Acts, chapter 19. We've got a word that is rich. I like the Book of Acts. It's a special book. We see the birth of the church, but it's also a transitional book. So there's some things that happen in any of the transition times that don't really happen throughout the bulk of time. But it is amazing to think about the church today. You know, the church, not our church or even our denomination or anything, but thinking about the church of people that is saved by Jesus Christ. That, think of how many there are all through the world, and then think about how few Jesus started with. You know, just a handful he started with, and it spread throughout the entire world and is still going on today. That's amazing, you know. And your Bible might say at the beginning the Acts of the Apostles, but it's really the Acts of the Holy Spirit. You know, we see that in the book, but it's always a blessing to look back. But I want to look at Acts chapter 19. We're going to look at verse 1 through 7. It says this, "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples. And he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. Let's give the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you so much for this word tonight that we have from you. And Lord, I pray that you would use me to preach. Lord, fill me with the unction of the Holy Spirit. Lord, clear my mind, and Lord, use me, but then also open up our hearts and our ears and our minds to what you have for us today, Lord, that our word would strengthen us and encourage us and draw us closer to you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name, and amen. So in the chapter before, at the end, you see where Paul, or actually earlier in the chapter, Paul meets Aquila and Priscilla. So that's a husband and wife in Corinth, and they were also tent makers. So we find that out, just like Paul was a tent maker. So he ends up staying with them, and they follow Paul to Ephesus. But when Paul moves on to the next place at the end of chapter 18, he leaves Aquila and Priscilla there. And that at the end of chapter 18, they meet Apollos. And I'm going to read a couple verses from the end of chapter 18. Verses 24 through 26 says this, "And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly." So we see Apollos is a Jew from Alexandria, that's in Egypt. He was an eloquent speaker. He was mighty in the scriptures, and it says he was fervent in the Spirit. Now you have to be careful, because remember, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's mentioned, especially at the beginning of verse 19. You have to look at if it's capitalized or not. That's one of the things the King James version of the Bible will show you. If you see it says he was fervent in the Spirit, that is lowercase. That means it's not fervent in the Holy Spirit, he's fervent in his own spirit. You know, each of us have a spirit. It's kind of who we are. He was fervent. He had zeal to tell people about the Lord, and he taught diligently. But you start to see a problem in chapter 18, verse 25, that says, "Knowing only of the baptism of John." So as he is fervently speaking to the Jews, expounding scriptures, doing all of these things, Aquila and Priscilla hear him and they take him in. And I think they invited him into their home, just like they had done with Paul. And they expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. So here you see Apollos' problem is he knew about God. He knew the scriptures, but he only knew of the baptism of John. So what we know, what John was preaching was repentance. You know that from the Bible. He preached repentance and that the Messiah was coming, right? He is the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And we know that repentance always comes before salvation. But here's the problem. Even though he had repentance, even though he had the scriptures, that wasn't enough. And Aquila and Priscilla hear him in the synagogue. And instead of arguing with him out in the open, they befriend him and invite him home. And they expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. You know what they did? They took the Old Testament that he already knew and they told him the gospel of Jesus Christ using the Old Testament, showing him that, yes, you started with repentance. You started with what John was teaching. And that, that was what he had believed in and trusted. But that was the first part. That's repentance. That's saying that, realizing that I'm a sinner, realizing that I'm going the wrong direction. And then what did John say when he saw Jesus? Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. See, he was telling him about sin and righteousness and judgment. And then he said, there's the one that can take away your sin. But here's the problem. If you just stop at John and you don't have Jesus, you don't have salvation. He knew repentance and he knew the scriptures, but that wasn't enough. Do you realize, I believe we can see an example of Aquila and Priscilla, and I think this should be our own goal, is to take people, whether they're deep in religion or deep in themselves or deep in whatever, that they would get comfortable with us so that way we can share Jesus Christ to them. That's what they did. They shared the gospel of Jesus Christ, probably in their own home, and that is what showed this man that had so much zeal for God, yet he didn't know Jesus. They showed him Jesus Christ. And once he had all of that scripture knowledge, all of that zeal, once they put Jesus in, you know what Jesus is? He's the key that brings all the Bible together. It answers the old. It unlocks the old. It brings in the new. You put that together. And there he found salvation. And then, I love what it says at the end, then he continued to zealously tell people by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. So you see what that did for Apollos is that he was zealous. He was teaching the scriptures. He was talking about the Lord and talking about the coming Messiah zealously. But now he knew who the coming Messiah was. And now he starts telling everybody about Jesus. So that's how Acts chapter 18 ends. And then we come into Acts chapter 19. So in Ephesus, you still have Aquila and Priscilla. Apollos has left. He's gone to Corinth to help the brethren over there. And now Paul is there in Ephesus. And it says in verse 1, he found a group of certain disciples. And he asked them a question, verse 2, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And you know, they answer, now these are disciples. They're calling themselves disciples. And they answer, we have never heard of the Holy Ghost. You know, this passage, I've seen it build different types of doctrines and things, and I think a lot of groups have used it in different ways. But I think whenever you get into a passage that's either familiar or one that people have taken in a lot of directions, you got to slow down either way and see what exactly is it taking. And not only that, if you're going to build a doctrine on a passage, it has to match the other verses in the Bible that talk about the same thing. So let's look at, if we're going to talk about a doctrine, especially how you receive the Holy Spirit, we've got to look at Romans 8:9. It says this, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit," capital S. "If so be that Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." So if we break that down, Paul is saying, if you have trusted in Jesus Christ for salvation, number one, you're not in the flesh, right? You're not ruled by your flesh. We're not a slave to the flesh anymore. We've been redeemed, but we war against the flesh. But he says, but you are in the Spirit. And if so be that Spirit of God dwells within you. You know what he's saying right there? If you're a Christian, which means you've been saved by Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. It's that simple. And then the rest of the verse, "Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." If any man doesn't have the Holy Spirit, he's not a Christian. Not of Jesus. That's what Romans 8:9 says. You can't be saved by Jesus Christ and not have the Holy Spirit. So with that Romans 8:9, we have to go back to Paul's question. He's asking them, do you have the Holy Spirit? Have you received the Holy Spirit? And they say, we don't even know who the Holy Spirit is. Do you know what that tells me? If they had no idea and they hadn't received the Holy Spirit, they were not saved. They can't be, or Romans 8:9 is not true. So let's go on. Look what he asked them in verse 3. "Unto what then are you baptized?" He's asking him, he's kind of like saying, well, what did you believe? What made you, what got you into the where you think you're at to be a disciple of where you're at? And they say, "Unto John's baptism." Now, doesn't that sound very similar to the end of chapter 18? Remember Apollos? What did he say? He only knew the baptism of John. Here we've got another set of disciples. They only knew John's baptism. So we've got these certain disciples. They're in the same position Apollos was in. They were religious. They were students of the Bible. They even called themselves disciples. They probably even worked for the Lord. They had recognized their sin. They had repented. They had been baptized. They believed the Messiah was coming, but didn't realize Messiah had already come. And didn't realize His name was Jesus Christ, and didn't realize they needed to believe in Jesus Christ for salvation. Do you see how close they got, but weren't there? Not just Apollos, but these certain disciples, the exact same scenario we see. Religious, pious, believed the Bible, believed the Lord, all of these things, yet they were missing the most important thing, and that was a belief in Jesus Christ. They're missing it. So what does Paul do? You know what he doesn't do in verse 4? He doesn't say, well, you're doing a good job. Keep learning. Keep serving. Keep doing your discipleship. No, you know what he tells him? Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance. You know what he's saying? That was John's role. He was the forerunner, repentance before salvation, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which come after him. So again, he's telling them the message they already believe, but then he hits them with this. The one that should come after John is who? Christ Jesus. That's what he tells them. He's saying, listen, you, repentance is good, repentance is necessary, repentance comes first, but it's never salvation. That can only come from Jesus Christ. And here we go. Another group that's already been baptized. But Paul tells them, he says, hey, that baptism of repentance isn't enough. Still takes Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 5. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, he's preaching the gospel. We don't have the entire story. The Bible doesn't give us all the details of everything that happened right here. But I'll tell you what, if they were baptized in Jesus' name after hearing the gospel, it's because they believed in Jesus Christ. They turned to him. Then they were baptized not in John the Baptist's name, not in the name of repentance. But when they were baptized for regeneration, right? They were saying, look, that's what we do. When we put somebody in the water and they're already saved and it's a public showing that they The old man is dead and buried, and then the new man has come to life. And that new man wasn't us turning over another leaf. It wasn't us making a better life. It wasn't even repent, because that's repentance right there. Turning around, that's necessary. But I'll tell you what, I could turn around, but I needed somewhere to go. And that was the cross of Jesus Christ. And they were missing that. They were disciples. They were zealous. They were arguing with the Jews, disputing. They were saying, they were doing all the right thing, but they were this close. That close. But you know what? You know what the job was of the person that did know about Jesus? To fill in the missing piece. Right? They were religious, but they missed Jesus. No different than what was it when Paul was there? I believe in Athens, they're worshiping. They got the unknown God. And what did he do? He told them, hey, I'll tell you about the God. You don't know him right now, but I'll tell you who he is. I'll tell you who the real God is. That's what we need. We need to show people. A lot of people, they believe in certain things. Some even believe in God. Some even believe the Bible's good. But they're missing Jesus Christ. That's what they need. They were His disciples in name only before, but now they're real, true believers, ready to spread the gospel. Now, verse 6. Here's the controversial one. Paul laid his hands on them. The Holy Ghost came on them and they spake with tongues and prophesied. So here we see, again, I said this is a transitional book, the book of Acts. This is going from the ministry of Jesus. Now we're starting the church with the disciples. Peter laid his hands on people and they received the Holy Ghost. Paul did, but then it quits. You don't see that after that. The transition's over. You know what? If you come to this altar, a sinner, and the Lord, you hear the gospel, the Holy Spirit convicts your heart, touches your heart, gives you grace, you admit you're a sinner, you call on Jesus' name, you pray to Him and ask Him to forgive you of your sins, and He will. I don't have to lay my hands on you. Nobody has to lay their hands. Just as sure as you believed and you called on Jesus' name and you were saved, there's the Holy Spirit right there. Amen. Aren't you glad? I'm glad I don't have to do that. Right? I'd hate for that to have that responsibility. I'm glad He just already comes and it's automatic. That's what verse. But you see the order in here. The order stays the same. You've got repentance first, and then they hear the gospel, and then they respond to the gospel in belief, and then they're baptized, and then they have the Holy Spirit. You see it all right there, and it all happens real fast. Right there. Now they believe. Now they have the Holy Spirit. Now they're Christians. You know what I like about this passage? The last verse I read was verse 7. This group of certain disciples, and all the men were about 12. So you see this group of 12 in Ephesus. You add Aquila and Priscilla. Now you've got 14. And sometimes Apollos, you got 15. That's the church at Ephesus right there at the beginning. 15. 14 or 15. That's it. But look down at verse 10 of chapter 19. And this continued. Paul was preaching in Ephesus, and this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia, that province of Rome, the Asia province, heard the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, both Jews and Greeks. Now let's skip down to verses 17 and 18 of the chapter. And this was known to all the Jews and the Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on all them, on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. So you've got the group of 12. You got the husband and wife. You got Apollos. And then a couple years later, now you have many that believe. And in fact, the next part of the chapter 19, the later part of it, is where they start a riot. Because look at verse 20. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. I like that verse. Can you imagine if you lived in Ephesus, and Ephesus was a religious city. They worshiped Diana. They had all of the stuff going on, and there, from a group of 15, now you have so mightily grew the Word of God in Prevent. I wish we could say that about Marengo and Delaware and Morrow County and Central Ohio and even wicked Columbus down there. I mean, basically Columbus, you know. Can you imagine someone starting out with a group of 15 and then saying, look, the Word of God is prevailing mightily. You realize God can still do that today? I believe He can, don't you? I believe it. I believe that it's by God's power, but it gets so powerful, and so many people believe on Jesus Christ that later on in chapter 19, they start a riot. That's where the silversmith, they realize, the ones that make idols, they realize that, hey, here's the problem. Where's it at? Down here. They're afraid they're going to go out of business because all these Christians are saying that there is no God made with men's hands. So all the ones that made idols with their hands, all the silversmiths making the idols of Diana, they're starting to go out of business. So they start a riot to get everybody out, you know, and to throw everyone out. Isn't that amazing? Remember what I've said. How did they tackle the sin problem in Ephesus? How did they tackle the false religion problem? They didn't go to city council and change the rules. They didn't do any of that stuff. They preached Jesus Christ. They preached the Bible. People started believing it. People started getting saved. They had a new life. They were made a new creature. And all that happened is the more and more they preached and they taught and they witnessed about the Lord, that the Bible and the Word of God started prevailing. Prevailing over what? Prevailing over all the wickedness that was in Ephesus. People started turning, and all those industries that thrived in false religion and sin started to feel the pain. I tell you what, this, you know what our cities need and our country needs? We've got so many businesses that are thriving that are based in nothing but sin. They're rooted in sin. They capitalize on sin. And you know what the best thing to do is to drive them out of business? Is to get people to turn to Jesus Christ. Get people to live a righteous life. Get people to be a new creature in Christ. And they'll dry up. You know what? They may riot. They may get mad about it. They're not. The devil's not going to go down quietly. But I'll tell you what. I'll take a riot any day because people are getting saved and the Word of God is prevailing. That is the beginning of the Church of Ephesus. And that's the program right there. That's what you do. Preach Jesus to everybody. You preach Jesus to those that are religious, false religion or half a religion. You preach to the Jew. You preach to the Greek. You teach the Bible, and God gives the increase, and the Holy Spirit works mightily. A lot of people get saved. The grip of sin starts to loosen on the city. That those businesses, those industries start to go out of business. And there you've got from 15 to a number that I don't even know how big it is. And all of that started because a couple people decided that I heard, right, first it was Apollos. He's zealous. He knows Scripture, but he's missing Jesus. So instead of fighting him or anything else, they said, hey, why don't you come on over, and told him about Jesus. And then what did Paul do? The missionary, what did he do? Same thing. He finds a group. Again, the religious believe in repentance. They even got baptized. They're joining something. They've got something that they're joined up with. They're learning from somebody. And what's Paul do? Tells them about Jesus Christ. Amen. They believe. Lives are changed. Everything's different. And they kept doing that same program for years. And God kept bringing the increase. Amen. God is able to do that today. But here's the thing. Are we willing to do our part? And I think part of it is just getting a burden for where we live, a burden for our families, a burden for our friends, our coworkers, our classmates, all of those things, and saying, you know what? they are headed down a direction that leads straight to hell. There's many different ways to get into hell. There's lots of ways to get in. You can get in through false religion. You can get in through living for yourself and everything in between. It's just everyone that just rejects Jesus Christ. So we need to tell them about Jesus. Amen. And even if our number is small, God, over and over again, worked with 11, worked with 15, worked with 2. He said, numbers don't matter. You know what matters? Will you trust me? Will you tell people the truth and love? You know, I think one of the things is we've got a world that's so skeptical and is so, they've been sold deception and lies so often that when you give the truth, they're still skeptical of it a lot of times. You know what? I think the real antidote, I've said it many times, is if they see something different in us, then they want to hear why. And a lot of times it takes time, but I can see God is working on people right now. They're getting tired of a lot of things. A lot of things aren't working. They're not finding satisfaction. They're not finding the solutions that they're looking for. They're losing their trust in a lot of these things, and that's a good thing. The fact that people are losing trust in our schools, that's not a bad thing if our school's not founded on Jesus Christ. The fact that they're losing trust in our government, that's not a bad thing if the government isn't based on Jesus. We know it's not. What do we need? We need to tell them where to put their true trust.
Amen.
The one that'll help them, the one that'll save them and keep them and give them peace and give them satisfaction and joy and all of those things. I'm going to ask everyone to stand tonight.